Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used for God to be a blessing. I also want to wish everyone a Happy New Year, and we certainly pray for God's blessings to be in your life this year. And the greatest way to know those blessings, first and foremost, is to be saved. If you're not saved, trust in Christ. I can't tell you. It'll do more for you than a diet. I'm not preaching against good diet or good health or anything like that. I'm just saying it'll do more for you than that. It'll do more for you than any counseling or any other thing that you can do. I can't express in words what it means to be saved. And the peace, the love, the knowledge of the truth. There are so many wonderful things about being saved that I can't just put into words. But if you don't know Christ, trust in Him today. It'll make all the difference in the world. The Lord didn't say you had to say the right words. You had to ask the right way. He said you have to believe in your heart. And when you see yourself as a sinner, and you see Christ as your salvation, your only way of salvation, and you trust fully in Him, God saves you, not because of who you are, or the words that you said, or all these other things. He saves you because you turn from dead works to serve the living God. You turn to believing in God's promise through Christ. That is God's salvation to whosoever would believe. And I pray that you will today. If you have questions about that, again, always, you can call, text us, whatever you need to do. Our number is 601-606-4681. And before we get to the message today, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. Father, even giving us another year of life, more opportunities. And Father, we pray that we take advantage of the opportunities to serve you, to honor you, and to accomplish your will in our life. Father, we just pray that you would continue to be merciful to the lost, open their eyes to the truth of the gospel that they could turn and trust in Christ before it be everlasting too late. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to turn today to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And again, this will kind of touch on what we dealt with last week in 2 Corinthians, but again, there's people that put trust in men instead of God, and that's not right. I even tell the people where I pastor, I'm accountable to the Word of God. If you find me preaching something that doesn't fit the Scripture, you have all authority by Scripture to confront me with that. And if I can show you you're wrong, or you can show me I'm wrong, we're to accept Scripture. Scripture is what we go by. The truth of God's Word. That's what we're to follow. And you know, within that, there are so many people that put their trust even in things in the church like they do in the world. Well, to be a good preacher, you got to go to a college or a seminary, and you got to go for years, and you got to learn how to speak Greek and how to do all these, other things, and you just got to learn all these, this vast knowledge. Listen, the Word of God and the King James Bible was written on a sixth grade reading level. The next closest to it, I think, is NIV at a 12th grade reading level. And, of course, it's 64,000 words shorter, I believe, because of all the stuff that they've taken out of the NIV, verses that they've just totally removed. And, of course, that's not good. We know about adding to or removing from the Word of God, the dangers of that. But the Word of God is not difficult. You don't need a PhD to understand it. You need the Spirit of God to understand it. Because it is spiritually discerned. It is spiritually written. It is written for saved people, not for lost people. And you don't have to go through a pile of school to understand it. You just need to read it. You just need to study it. You need to put it in its right context and not take a verse out of context and try to make it say what you want it to say. It says what it says. It doesn't say what it doesn't say. And using it correctly, you don't need all that. There is no qualification anywhere in the Scripture that a preacher has to go to seminary to be a preacher. There is none. There are qualifications, and sadly we don't follow those in Titus chapter 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. There are qualifications, but those qualifications are spiritual qualifications that the Word of God is already visible in the person's life. And it's clearly evident not only by those who he goes to church with, but even people out in the world. And those are the important things. And those are the things that I look for more than anything else. I'm not pro-seminary or against seminary, but people thinking that we got to get our preacher from a seminary is foolish. Some of the best preachers I've ever listened to in my life never spent a day in seminary. Some of the most knowledgeable Bible scholars I've ever met in my life never went a day to seminary. Never did. They just studied the Word of God. A man that died when I was just a boy, people called him a walking Bible, and he was confounding people with master's degrees and things of that nature with all of his knowledge of Scripture, and yet he had a third grade education. You know why? God will use some of the foolish things in this world to confound the things of the wise. Because God reminds us it's about Him, it's not about us. And when we make it about us, and oh, look where I went to school and look at my paper. And look, that's some pride right there. And knowledge puffeth up. And sadly, there are a lot of people who think they have more knowledge than others simply because of where they went to school. And that is not how the Bible works. It is not about how much you learned at some college or university or seminary or wherever. It is about how much you apply of the truth of the Word of God and live it daily in your life. That is what God looks at. And that is what He has taught His church to look at. And in saying that again, I'm not attacking anybody with a degree. I've never done that. I've never preached against education or gaining more knowledge of God's Word or any of those things. But I tell you, there's a lot of people who look for the wrong things. And we're not getting spirituality then. And we're not getting spiritually fed. We're getting fed by the wisdom of the world instead of the wisdom of God. And we need to be careful with that. We need to be extremely careful with that. Now we come to verse 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And that's the difference. People say, well, why can't you explain this to somebody that's lost? How can I explain something that is only known inwardly? I never forget when I was a child, before God even convicted me of my sins, I used to ask my dad, I said, "Dad, how will I know when God's dealing with me?" And he turned to me and said, "Son, you'll know." I was like, "But that's not an answer." You know, you're just sitting there at 8, 9 years old asking questions, and you're like, "You didn't answer my question. You didn't help me out." But I'll tell you this, I was about 12 years old when God first dealt with me and showed me that I was a sinner. And it wasn't till 15 when I finally trusted Christ. And I can tell you, you know when God's dealing with you. People say, "How do you know?" I can't explain that. I can't put it into words. I can't put it into a conversation. But everybody that's saved knows exactly what I'm talking about. They go, "Oh yeah, you just know." Because one day you're sitting in church and you're just fine. You're thinking, "Man, I hope some lost people get saved. And I hope some people repent of their sins." And you're just sitting back and all of a sudden, boom. There's a knowledge within you that, hey, it's not somebody else that needs Christ. It's me. It's not somebody else that needs to be saved. It's me. It's not somebody else that needs to repent. It's me. And I tell you, the working of the Holy Spirit is an amazing thing. And how to explain that to somebody who's lost or a denier of God and things of this nature, I can't explain it to you. It's just something that God does. And that's why they say, "Well, it's just foolishness. It's just foolishness. Preaching of the cross, that people will be saved just by the preaching of the cross, that's foolishness." But those of us who are saved, we say, "No, that's the power of God." People make fun of us Baptists sometimes. They say we amen things that we hear all the time that we already know and we're already assured of. That's right, because the truth never changes. And I tell you what, to those who have experienced it, we know how powerful it's been for us, and we know how powerful it can be for somebody else. And we're like, amen, that's the truth. Amen, that word of God is powerful. He said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And God's saying that people that are trusting in men's wisdom and men's knowledge to accomplish things in life, God's saying, I got a judgment day coming. That's all going to be seen. And all these people they've looked down upon, the wisdom of them is going to be shown. He said, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And I tell you what, He's done that on a number of occasions. There's history books filled with it. And we try to throw that stuff away, and we try to, not acknowledge it, and not show it, not teach it. There's a whole lot of knowledge that has vanished from generations of people, even here in America, and the reason is because we don't teach the power of God's Word and how it has drastically changed things. How it has made people that were enemies to be friends. I wish I could remember the man's name. I was reading an article years ago, and the man was a lost man. He had never trusted in Christ, but he made this acknowledgement that where the cross has been preached, even in Africa, he talked about how warring tribes who once hated each other and despised each other and were against each other, he said, where the gospel's been preached and where those people have trusted in the gospel, he couldn't deny it. He said God can bring peace even between enemies. And he said, there's no other religion that does that. There's nothing else that you find that can bring peace. And he was a lost man, and he noticed that. I pray that he got saved before he died. But I tell you, it's an amazing thing just to look out and notice that God has made a difference in the world. You look at Western civilization, which is based more on Christianity than the rest of the world, and it is so different. That was the specialty of Western civilization, and the more that we gone away from God, the more that we've tried to go with the things that haven't worked in so many other countries and times past and the history of all the heathen religions in the worlds that have come before. And we don't see that it doesn't work without the morality of God. The reason Western civilization was so special and how much it gave opportunity in lifting the poor out of poverty and did so many different things is it was based upon principles that came from the Scripture. And it was a drastic difference from the old world. But it's amazing how many here in the new world today want to return to the teachings of the old world. And how much hatred are we seeing even grow in our country because of that. God is being proven right again, even when we're rejecting Him. Because He's made foolish the wisdom of this world. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And foolishness there simply means the simplicity. It wasn't through just great orators or somebody speaking fancy words and just wonderful, highly educated thoughts and all these other things. It wasn't that. It was the simplicity of the gospel. Preaching the cross to people, preaching Christ to people that made the difference. And it was by that we understood God and we understood even the foundations of the world. Listen, we've lost knowledge that most of our science that we hold to is based upon Christian principles. It was based upon foundational things that we got from Scripture that helped us to understand things even greater. And we've like tossed all that aside. It was even Christian workings that helped people think outside of the box from what the world was telling them. No, this must be true. This is what's right. This is what you must believe. Even when so-called false churches and you got the Catholic Church and things like that, when they were pushing people to believe certain things, It was the gospel that enlightened people to say, no, 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 no. What you're telling me to believe doesn't fit Scripture. And God saying for me to look at this more, and they saw more of God. But it pleased God to the foolishness of preaching to save them which that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. A lot of people are still that same way today, aren't they? Well, if God's real, He'll show me. Well, if God's real, why would He let me have pain? Oh, why would this happen? Now, I don't believe in God because I've had some pain in my life. Who hasn't? Well, the only times I really got upset and God helped me to hold my side of it in to where I could speak the truth to the person and speak it in love. But I had a person come up to me one time and say, well, Christians just don't understand things like some of the rest of us do in the world. And I had just got through counseling somebody that had been raped. And I had just had a conversation not many months back with a person who had been abused in their childhood. Not only physically, but sexually. And I dealt with people that had been alcoholics, drug addicts, and all kinds of other things. And I knew people, God's people, people that have sat in church, and people that uphold the truth, that they have gone through just as much things in life as other people have. And when people try to say, well, God's people don't understand these things, like we're not in the same world, or we don't go through the same things. People say, well, why would a God let you have all this? Why would He let you go through this? Sometimes, for the simple reason we live in a sinful world, man has caused sin, and there's repercussions for sins. And I tell you what, the more you understand about sin and God's righteousness, the more you'll understand about God's mercy, about God's long-suffering, about God's forgiveness, and God's love. Sometimes we're even allowed to have bad things happen to us, so we know how to appreciate some things like we should. There's people that say, God's got to show me a sign. He showed signs plentiful before. And the signs didn't make people believe. In fact, it was all the miracles and signs of Christ that the Jews wanted to stop and put Him on the cross. Dear friend, the signs. It's sad when people are saying, oh, I got to see a sign. Let me tell you what. The greatest miracle that God has ever done is save a sinner. It's more powerful than giving sight to the blind. And it's a greater miracle than making the lame to walk. It just is. And it's sad that people don't see it. But the Jews, they require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Well, you got to explain this. You got to quantify it to me. You got to show it to me on paper. You got to give me all this evidence. It's amazing how much people who say that they seek evidence will believe so many theories that are not backed with a whole pile of evidence. And yet they believe them. But when it comes to God, a person who's actually powerful to do things the way that He said He did them, they say, well, I can't believe that because there's not enough evidence. Even though all creation bears witness of God. And it still does to this day for those who are looking. But when we've already made up our mind of the conclusion, we'll take any evidence we have and we'll make it fit our conclusion. A true detective lets the evidence speak for itself. But sadly, there's a lot of people that want to take the evidence and say, well, we got to make it this way, and we got to make it fit here, and we got to put it here. And that's why so many are blinded. He said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than... Or excuse me, let me bring back. He said, but while they look for a sign or they look for some kind of seek after wisdom, he said, we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. It doesn't fit what they want it to. That's like when we read last week, they don't understand Isaiah 53 and what it actually means because they don't want to put Christ there. They don't want to put Christ in Genesis. They don't want to put Christ in the Psalms. They don't want to put Christ in Jeremiah and in Isaiah and other places. They don't want to see Christ in the very Word of God that they have, even though He's all over the Old Testament. They've got that veil over them. They're blinded. As are many other religions. And for those seeking after wisdom, they say, show me, show me, show me. And the evidence is all there. He said, we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, foolishness. They say, ah, that's foolishness. If we can't see it on paper, if we can't see it with our own eyes, then it's not real, so it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. And we know that all are called. What he's talking about, actually those words called are put in there. That's why they're in italics. But he's saying you don't see the mighty men, you don't see all the wise. The wise of this world, so to speak, the people that the world lift up and say, oh, these are wise, these are the people you should listen to. He said, that's not who you see. It's not the powerful in this world who you see in a lot of God's churches. It's not the nobles of the world who look at their riches and look at their power. God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. It's amazing what God has done through simple people. You ever go back and study men like John Adams, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson? You'll say, oh yeah, there was a lot of greatness in them. Okay? Go and look into their life. Farmers. They didn't come from nobility. They weren't great, the greatest scholars in their time from the institutions of learning, from Oxford University and all these other things. Not that they were uneducated, that's not what I'm saying. Soldiers, farmers, what we'd call common folk. That's who they were. My goodness, I think Samuel Adams, when he was elected to be a representative, they had to pass the hat to take up a collection just to buy him a suit. In other words, they were just common people, hard-working people. They became something to us because God used common people to change the world, to outsmart a king, to outfight the greatest military on the face of the earth at their day and time. That's an amazing thing. And listen, if you go through history, God has used so many of what everybody else would say, well, they were just normal people. Again, some of the greatest Christian scholars I've ever known, bricklayers, dairy farmers, farmers, regular. just common people. God had chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God is using the simple things to make glorious transformations. You know, that was one of the most difficult things for people to accept about America. You had all these people with money who came to America and they tried to set things up, but we got to have our rich club and we got to have our class system and we got to do things our way because these lower people, they're not worth anything. And America changed all that. And I'm not trying to praise America. What I'm really saying is God changed all that. God showed that a simple man on a farm, well, his daddy had to do newspaper routes and had his boys do newspaper routes to make some money, that God could take somebody out of that and build a pretty big entertainment empire. That was Walt Disney. You ever look at the history of some of the families of this country that made it big and did big things? And sadly, there were the progressives in the early 20th century who are still called themselves the progressives today that think that some people are better than others. They've always thought that. Because they think that God can't use simple people and simple people shouldn't be able to make their own decisions. They need government to tell them what to do and how to do it and when they can do it and all these other things. God believes that He could lead His people as long as they follow His word and His laws. That we be a nation of laws and not of men. That was how God desired to set up Israel, wasn't it? And they said, oh, we need a king. I tell you, some of the smartest men I've ever met, I've met in some of God's churches. And they weren't just book smart or didn't have all the knowledge, but I tell you, they knew some things about God. And they had some wisdom about how to live for Him, how to love their families, how to raise their families. And it's amazing how much wisdom you can get off some just regular people that God has opened their eyes to the truth and has shown them such a world of wisdom through His Word. See, we preach Christ crucified for salvation, that God sent His only begotten Son to pay our sin debt. To a lot of people, that just doesn't make any sense. To those of us who are saved, though, it makes all the sense in the world and it means the world. It means everything. It helps us to love our wives. It helps us to love our families. It helps us to love our neighbor as ourselves. It does so much. And it's all because of the wisdom of God in Christ. It means everything. And you know what our greatest desire is that other people know the same love that we've known. We love you to be free from sin. We love you to be saved. We love you to call you a brother or sister in Christ. We want to see God make a difference in your life. And it's not going to be through the wisdom of man's books or man's reading or man's teaching. It all comes through the wisdom of God's Word, and it starts with faith in Christ for salvation. That God loves sinners so much, His creation that He made in His image, even though they had rebelled against Him and sinned against Him and rejected Him in so many ways, He so loved them that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I tell you, the people that know that's the power of God unto salvation. And it means everything. And it changes everything. Today I pray that you know that. If you have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory. for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.